Today's reading comes from Ezekiel chapters 11 to 15. If you're using one of these red church Bibles, that's on page 592. So that's Ezekiel chapter 11, and we'll begin at verse 1. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the gate of the house of the Lord that faces east. There at the entrance to the gate were 25 men, and I saw among them Jaazaniah, son of Azzah, and Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, leaders of the people. The Lord said to me, Son of man, these are the men who are plotting evil and giving wicked advice in this city. They say, Will it not soon be time to build houses? This city is a cooking pot, and we are the meat. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, son of man. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and he told me to say, This is what the Lord says. This is what you are saying, O house of Israel, that I know what is going through your mind. You have killed many people in this city, and filled its streets with the dead. Therefore this is what the Sovereign Lord says, The bodies you have thrown there are the meat, and this city is the pot, that I will drive you out of it. You fear the sword, and the sword is what I will bring against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will drive you out of the city, and hand you over to foreigners, and inflict punishment on you. You will fall by the sword, and I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This city will not be a pot for you, nor will you be the meat in it. I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel. And you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not followed my decrees or kept my laws, but have conformed to the standards of the nations around you. Now, as I was prophesying, Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell face down and cried out in a loud voice, Ah, Sovereign Lord, will you completely destroy the remnant of Israel? The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, your brothers who are your blood relatives and the whole house of Israel, are those of whom the people of Jerusalem have said, They are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. Therefore say, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from the nations, and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart, and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone, and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees, and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Then the cherubim, with the wheels beside them, spread their wings, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city, and stopped above the mountain east of it. The Spirit lifted me up, and brought me to the exiles in Babylonia in the vision given by the Spirit of God. Then the vision I had seen went up from me, and I told the exiles everything the Lord had shown me. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile, and in the daytime, as they watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, although they are a rebellious people. During the daytime, while they watch, bring out your belongings packed for exile. Then in the evening, while they are watching, go out like those who go into exile. While they watch, dig through the wall and take your belongings out through it. Put them on your shoulder as they are watching and carry them out at dusk. Cover your face so that you cannot see the land. For I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. So I did as I was commanded. During the day I brought out my things, packed for exile. Then in the evening I dug through the wall with my hands. I took my belongings out at dusk, carrying them on my shoulders while they watched. In the morning the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, did not that rebellious house of Israel ask you, What are you doing? Say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This oracle concerns the prince in Jerusalem, and the whole house of Israel who are there. Say to them, I am a sign to you. as I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile as captives. The prince among them will put his things on his shoulder at dusk and leave, and a hole will be dug in the wall for him to go through. He will cover his face so he cannot see the land. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylonia, the land of the Chaldeans, but he will not see it, and there he will die. I will scatter to the winds all those around him, his staff and all his troops, and I will pursue them with drawn sword. They will know that I am the Lord, when I disperse them among the nations and scatter them through the countries. But I will spare a few of them from the sword, famine and plague, so that in the nations where they go, they may acknowledge all their detestable practices. Then they will know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, tremble as you eat your food, and shudder in fear as you drink your water. Say to the people of the land, this is what the Sovereign Lord says about those living in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. They will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. The inhabited towns will be laid waste and the land will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, what is this proverb you have in the land of Israel? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to put an end to this proverb, and they will no longer quote it in Israel. Say to them, the days are near when every vision will be fulfilled. For there will be no more false visions or flattering divinations among the people of Israel. But I, the Lord, will speak what I will, and it shall be fulfilled without delay. For in your days, you rebellious house, I will fulfill whatever I say, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies about the distant future. Therefore say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy after their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divinations are lies. They say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not said them. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people, or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying, peace, when there is no peace. And because, when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will not people ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. In my wrath, I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger, hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the wall you have covered with whitewash, and will level it to the ground, so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you will be destroyed in it, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with whitewash. I will say to you, the wall is gone, and so are those who whitewashed it. Those prophets of Israel who prophesied to Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her when there was no peace, declares the Sovereign Lord. Now, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own imagination. Prophesy against them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the women who sew magic charms on all their wrists and make veils of various lengths for their heads in order to ensnare people? Will you ensnare the lives of my people, but preserve your own? You have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread. By lying to my people, who listen to lies, you have killed those who should not have died, and have spared those who should not live. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against your magic charms with which you ensnare people like birds, and I will tear them from your arms. I will set free the people that you ensnare like birds. I will tear off your veils and save my people from your hands, and they will no longer fall prey to your power. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because you disheartened the righteous with your lies when I had brought them no grief, and because you encouraged the wicked not to turn from their evil ways and so save their lives, therefore you will no longer see false visions or practice divination. I will save my people from your hands, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any Israelite sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel, who have all deserted me for their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. When any Israelite or any alien living in Israel separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man and make him an example and a byword. I will cut him off from my people. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is enticed to utter a prophecy, I, the Lord, have enticed that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. They will bear their guilt. The prophet will be as guilty as the one who consults him. Then the people of Israel will no longer stray from me, nor will they defile themselves any more with all their sins. They will be my people, and I will be their God, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it, and kill its men and their animals, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the Sovereign Lord. Or if I send wild beasts through that country, and they leave it childless, and it becomes desolate so that no one can pass through it because of the beasts, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword against that country and say, let the sword pass throughout the land, and I kill its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or if I send a plague into that land and pour out my wrath upon it through bloodshed, killing its men and its animals, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel and Job were in it, they would save neither son nor daughter. They would save only themselves by their righteousness. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. How much worse will it be when I send against Jerusalem my four dreadful judgments, sword and famine and wild beasts and plague, to kill its men and their animals? Yet there will be some survivors, sons and daughters, who will be brought out of it. They will come to you, and when you see their conduct and their actions, you will be consoled regarding the disaster I have brought upon Jerusalem, every disaster I have brought upon it. You will be consoled when you see their conduct and their actions, for you will know that I have done nothing in it without cause, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, how is the wood of a vine better than that of the branch of any tree, the branch on any of the trees in the forest? Is wood ever taken from it to make anything useful? Do they make pegs from it to hang things on? And after it's thrown on the fire as fuel, and the fire burns both ends and charred the middle, is it then useful for anything? If it was not useful for anything when it was whole, how much less can it be made into something useful when the fire has burned it and it is charred? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. As I have given the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest as fuel for the fire, so will I treat the people living in Jerusalem. I will set my face against them. Although they have come out of the fire will yet consume them. And when I set my face against them, you will know that I am the Lord. I will make the land desolate, because they have been unfaithful, declares the Sovereign Lord.
Well, thank you, Tim, for the reading. We turn again to the prophet Ezekiel, and these chapters we shall reflect on and consider together. Now, as we know, that the book of Ezekiel is somewhat of a neglected book in many ways. And there are reasons for this, of course. The length and the picturesque and dramatic style of the book adds to its difficulty, and its message in today's society is unpalatable. And yet it has a profound message for us all. I have a hobby, and it's reading history through the perspective of political cartoons. And this has been a particular hobby of mine over the recent years, and I've looked at various cartoonists as they've contributed to their art in times of trouble and difficulty in this nation's history, particularly during the war years. And the name may not be familiar to you, but it's a very famous cartoonist by the name of David Lowe, who was a superb draftsman and artist and war cartoonist. And his perspective during the years leading up to the Second World War and during the war years is very fascinating and interesting. And next month, of course, or 2 months' time, in August, we will be particularly thinking of the 100th anniversary of World War I. And cartoonists had their role to play during those war years as well. And they would often portray the empires that were in conflict together in terms of animals, for example. Great Britain was the lion, and Russia was the bear. France was a cockerel, and Germany was the eagle. And in this way, people could identify with those particular forces, and it's not unlike the methodology of the prophet Ezekiel in giving to us some very dramatic pictures of the empires that were in conflict together during the writing of this book. And so for me, this is quite an interesting illustration, how some of the insights of the cartoonist in a visual way present to us some quite complex themes in terms of the political movements of nations. So also the visions and the remarkable requirements that God placed upon Ezekiel to perform also provide for us almost a visual understanding of his sovereign purposes in bringing the message home to a very stubborn and a rebellious people. It's fascinating when we read of God's requirement of the prophet Ezekiel, for example, to lay on his side for so many days and on the other side for so many days, and then to act out various parables, as it were, before the people. It seems to me that the man becomes the message. And that is a factor I want to draw out as well in the message this morning. As we know, he was taken into exile in Babylon, the first wave of the exiles, and all his ministry was in exile. He was probably 25 or 30 years old when he was taken and called and exercised this remarkable ministry. The temple back in Jerusalem, many thought to be above reproach, and yet, as we've seen in our previous studies, it was abandoned by God. The glory had departed. Chapter 5 and verse 11 says this: "Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your vile images and detestable practices, I myself will withdraw my favour. I will not look on you with pity or spare you." This section, chapters 11 to 15, may seem to have no connection, but actually they do. They form and create a kind of thematic mosaic which focuses on convincing the people of the seriousness of their condition, which they seem to treat very half-heartedly and not at all seriously. So it's a kind of thematic mosaic. Another picture can be, it's like a kaleidoscope. I remember having a kaleidoscope as a child. You shake it, you point it, and all different patterns occur. And then you turn the kaleidoscope and the pattern changes. I don't know if you remember the famous speech that Tony Blair gave in the light of the terrible Twin Towers disaster in September 2001, speaking to the TUC conference, he said, "The kaleidoscope is moving." And it's like this here with these chapters in Ezekiel. Ezekiel is seeking to convince the people of the seriousness of their condition, because they weren't taking this serious at all. They were foolishly optimistic and weren't at all heeding the very serious warnings of the prophet. And this is what we read, that "You are a rebellious people," he says to them in chapter 12, verse 1. "They have eyes to see, but do not see. Ears to hear, but they do not hear." And in our own day, we can say this, can't we? That there is a kind of foolish optimism today, which ignores the seriousness of our own spiritual condition. I hear that Monty Python's Flying Circus is making its return. And one of the songs they sang is, "Always look on the bright side of life." Well, this is the exiles here in Babylon under Ezekiel's ministry. "You know, it's not so bad as you say, Ezekiel. Don't take it so seriously. You're a doom and gloom merchant. Don't take things so seriously. It's not as bad as all that." And Ezekiel says, "Yes, it is bad as that and far worse." Well, I want to look at these chapters with you briefly then, under this heading of a refrain that comes out many times in the book of Ezekiel. I think over 50 times this refrain comes through. It's what's known as a recognition formula. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." This is a phrase that is repeated again and again and again. Here is a statement made, and this is what the Lord says, and then because of this happening, because of this taking place in your hearing, in your seeing, in your experience, then you shall know that I am the Lord. This will happen. And as deeds have consequences, so you shall know that I am the Lord. And the nation needed to know this. And friends, you and I need to know this too, don't we? This is not just an academic study for us. This is something that you and I have to accept ourselves, that we're in the presence of God. And we are to serve Him, and we are to love Him, and we are to know Him. We are to heed His word. Nothing can hinder God from working. He can work with many, or He can work with few. So we're going to look at each of these chapters, and there is a heading I've given to you in the outline, and you'll trace this through with me. So we looked at, firstly, chapter 11, briefly, evil plotting and God overruling. Now the leaders are plotting evil. Here they were, 25 men, leaders, amongst them Jezaniah and Pelatiah. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, these are the men who are plotting evil and giving wicked advice to the city. They say, would it not soon be time to build houses?" Hear then this optimistic view that, well, it's not so bad as all that. Pay no attention to the gloom merchants, the negativity boys. No, don't pay. Don't heed what they say. Surely we can give you more optimistic advice, when actually they were giving evil advice. And the Lord said, they are plotting evil. Don't heed them. Don't heed what they say. Terrible things will happen. And look at verse 10. "You will fall by the sword, and I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel." Here is the refrain then that we're going to reflect upon as this subject. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." Then you will know that I am the Lord. And then something dramatic happens. Something startling. Verse 13. "Now as I was prophesying, Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, died." Well, we read of him in verse 1, that he was one of the 25 men. "I saw among them Jezaniah, and Pelatiah, leaders of the people." And this is what we read then in verse 13. "Now he died." He died. This staggered and shattered Ezekiel. "Then I fell face down and cried in a loud voice, 'Ah, sovereign Lord, will you completely destroy the remnant of Israel?'" Ezekiel thought, well, here's the first one gone, and surely another's going to go. So what I'm saying is true, because this man has died, one of the leaders. And this is very serious, friends, because death does interrupt. The wages of sin is death. Now death, my friends, concentrates the mind, does it not? This past year we saw the tragedy of Peaches Geldorf dying, shattering her family and her friends and her colleagues. Terrible. My friends, death interrupts. God's word is true. Death is the wages of sin. In late 2008, there was a cluster of young people in South Wales, around the area of Newport. And strangely and bizarrely, there was an outbreak of almost mass suicide. I don't know if you remember this. There was 13 or 14, maybe 15 young people within that area of Newport in South Wales committing suicide for no apparent reason. This was very worrying. And I remember hearing a psychologist discuss this sad phenomena. Young people were thinking, well, yes, I'll die and then I'll go and have a cup of tea with mum and dad. No, you don't have a cup of tea with mum and dad when you die. It interrupts. It interrupts. And so Ezekiel knows that what God is saying is true. He knows this. He hears that Pelatiah, son of Benaniah, has died. One of the leaders of the 25. Is it all going to happen? Are they all going to die, Lord? Ah, but they're far away from the Lord. Far from him. But what is needed is for God to intervene. And here is a promise. Whilst there's doom and there's gloom in the prophecy of Ezekiel, yet there are flashes of wondrous gospel light coming through. Here is a promise. Verse 18, they will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I'll remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. This is the covenant renewed, as it were. But for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. Here is the division, is it not, of humanity. Those whose hearts are set on idolatry and those whose hearts have been renewed by the sovereign Lord. And this is what needs to be happen to you and to I if we're to be right with God. I will remove from their hearts of stone and give them a heart of flesh. This is what must happen. Has it happened to you, my friends? This, of course, anticipates further instruction from Ezekiel. We read this in chapter 36, of course. This wonderful promise of regeneration and renewal. Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, verse 25, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This reminds us, doesn't it, of God's priorities? He requires from us new behaviour, but before we can actually act in a way that is honourable to him, we need a new heart. So it's not a matter of saying, you must do this, rules and regulations, here is a checklist, check it that you've done it. What you must have before that takes place, my friends, is a new heart. And a heart sprinkled with pure water. That is a picture to us of the saving work of Christ applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. New life alone brings new behaviour. How can it not be otherwise, my friends? But there is a negative here for those whose hearts are not renewed, for those whose bodies are not cleansed with pure water, the picture of the Holy Spirit. for those whose hearts are devoted to the vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done. Evil plotting, God's overruling. And then secondly, chapter 12, rebellion exposed, not then, but now. Here is an example of Ezekiel the prophet, the man, who becomes the message. It's a staggering and a wonderful instance of this. Pack your bags, the Lord says to him. You're going for exile. And do this in front of the others that they will see, and perhaps they'll understand. Perhaps they won't, because they are a rebellious house. Verse 3. And during the daytime, while they watch, bring out your belongings, pack for exile. Then in the evening, while they're watching, go out like those who go into exile. While they watch. Interesting this phrase, isn't it? Do you see this? While they watch. While they watch. While they watch. So, Ezekiel the man becomes the message. And this is a very important point in ministry today, for those in gospel ministry. Yes, they preach, but yes, they live. Yes, they're heard, and yes, they ought to be observed. They ought to be seen to be those who fulfill the word of God, so they not be accused of being hypocrites. So many are, alas. But this is a for me, a very telling point and a moving point. While they watch. So here is a pastor preaching the word of God and living the word of God and observed by the congregation and by the church. What does this do? This enhances his ministry, does it not? While they watch, dig through a wall, he is told, Ezekiel, and take your belongings through it, put them on your shoulders. As they are watching. It's amazing, this passage, isn't it? As they are watching. So their rebellion is being exposed, not just what Ezekiel is saying to them, but what Ezekiel is doing before them. So a preacher's life counts, my friends. It counts. It reinforces the message while they were watching. I am assigned to you. The phrase again, look at verse 15. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I disperse among them the nations and scatter them through the countries. And yet they say, well, in a vainly optimistic way. Verse 26, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now. And he prophesies about the distant future. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, none of my words will be delayed any longer. So it's urgent, this, isn't it? Whenever we preach the gospel, it is urgent. Today is the day of salvation. And we can't say to folks, well, you can live the bulk of your life in sinful independence from God, and then when you're in your 60s and 70s and 80s, then you can think about it then. Not at all. It is now. And we will say to young children, boys and girls and young people, it is now. You consider the claims of Jesus and you give yourself to him now. Don't wait for your life is over. Give your life to him now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews 3 verse 12. The value of hearing and obeying today is being emphasized in this section here. Verse 12. Rebellion exposed. Not then, but now. And then chapter 13. Seeing nothing, are nothing. And this is a sad description of false teachers. This section then is about false teachers. Here is the situation become even worse when false teaching is becoming pervasive throughout the nation, not only in Ezekiel's day, but in our own. This is why it's so important to hear good teaching and yield yourselves to good ministry and not to nonsense that's often portrayed so many places today. And this is these prophets, what we're told there. What verse 3, who follow their own ways or follow their own spirits, have seen nothing. They've seen nothing. And yet they've been teaching. They're like jackals amongst the ruins. It's like a cartoon. Can you imagine a cartoon? Here is a false teacher, and he's portrayed as a jackal. It's a cartoon here, isn't it? It's a cartoon. And a jackal, not a friendly animal. You don't want to go and pat a jackal and say, nice doggy, not very nice, I'll have your hand off. So you don't yield to a jackal, do you? You really don't. And they're useless, and they're false, and they spew out lies. Verse 6, their visions are false, and their divinations a lie. What you and I must yield to when we heed God's word, we must heed those teachers that are teaching truth and are living the truth. This is what the scripture tells us today, surely. How sad this is. They say, verse 6, the Lord declares, when the Lord hasn't sent them. How sad that is. Every servant of the Lord is to be sent by the Lord. Every gospel minister, every gospel labourer in the vineyard of the Lord are there because God has sent them there, and they're under divine constraint. And the Lord hasn't sent them, and yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Well, they're seeing nothing. And nothing's been fulfilled by them, and they are nothing. How sad this is, really sad. Again, the refrain, verse 9, my hand will be against the prophets who seek false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor they enter that land of Israel. Then you will know that I the sovereign Lord. This is very humbling. Again, the refrain in verse 14, speaking about a flimsy whitewashed wall. Here is this wall built, they cover it with whitewash, and yet the rains come, the torrents come, the hailstones come hurling down, the violent wind collapses upon it, and the wall collapses. Does that remind you of a story from the New Testament? The foolish man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down on the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Here is in the equivalent here in Ezekiel chapter 13. That it's falling down. God is demanding that Ezekiel set his face against them. And they see nothing, and they are nothing. What's their contribution? What do they really contribute to the life of the nation? What do false teachers contribute to the life of the church? Well, I'll tell you, my friend, nothing. Nothing. That sounds very stark and judgmental, but that's true. And the sad thing, again, is mentioned here, is prophetesses who give themselves to the darkness of the occult. Now, this is very, very grievous and very sad. Here are women who sew magic charms, verse 18, on their wrists and make veils of various lengths in order to ensnare people. Will you ensnare the lives of my people to preserve your own? That's what they were doing. You profaned me among the people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread. Lying to the people who listen to lies. Sad this, isn't it? I'm against your magic charms, verse 20, which you ensnare people like birds. I will set free the people you ensnare like birds. I've read a very sad case. You may have heard of this past week. A con woman has just been sentenced to 10 years imprisonment for pretending to be a shaman, a kind of voodoo witch doctor. And she defrauded an opera singer from Glyndebourne over £300,000. I heard her interviewed on radio this past week, and this is terrible. This is awful. Imagine that on a grand scale, throughout the nation. Oh, I will set free the people you ensnare like birds. Oh, to be set free. To be set free by Jesus. The Son of God sets you free. You shall be free indeed. Oh, what a wonderful freedom. To be set free by the Lord, to know him, to love him, and to serve him, to follow him, to be with him. Well, we have to ask ourselves personal questions at this juncture, to say to ourselves, am I following the one who sets me free? Am I following the one who is the true king of the nations? Am I following him who has promised me emancipation and freedom if I trust in him? And so Pilate was interviewing Jesus. You're a king then? Jesus said, you're right in saying I'm a king. Yes, you're right. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Chapter 13, then. Seeing nothing, are nothing. Chapter 14. A false heart made and unmade. The issue was this, quite simply. I don't want to be guilty of just generalizing, but the issue is this: their hearts were astray from God. Their hearts were astray. So it was a spiritual issue. They set up idols in their hearts, and that was the root cause of God's displeasure. And what was God's aim and purpose? To recapture the heart of a deserted people. To recapture their hearts. Look at verse 5. Verse 4. I will speak to them and tell them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any Israelite sets up idols in his heart and puts a wicked stumbling block before his face and then goes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer myself in keeping with his great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel who've all deserted me for their idols. What a statement that is, my friends. That could not only be Israel then, but Great Britain today. Great Britain today. I will do this, oh, that he may, to recapture the hearts of the people who have all deserted me for their idols. Now, the message was unpalatable. It's unpalatable then, it's unpalatable now. Here's a false heart, an idolatrous heart. It needs to be exposed. And the message is this. It doesn't change this message. It's a continual message. And it is repent. Look at verse 6. This is what the house say to the house of Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. Jesus came preaching and teaching, and his first statement was this: repent. Repent. For the one who continues to be obstinate, again, sadly, the verse 8, I will set my face against that man and make him an example and a byword. I will cut him off from my people. Then you will know. Then you will know that I am the Lord. If rebellion towards the Lord continues unabated, chastisement and judgment inevitably follows. And this is a principle seen throughout the Word of God, and it's a principle that we see today, my friends. For nations and individuals, unless there is repentance and a turning to God, chastisement and judgment is the consequence. There are four dread judgments here. Verses 12 to 20. The sword, the famine, wild beasts, and plague. This is very grievous. But even in the light of this discouragement, there is a word that brings us joy. Verse 22, the first word, yet. Where would we be, my friends? Where would I be this morning without that word, yet? Where would that be? Where would you be? And where would I be? Yet, there will be some survivors, sons and daughters who will be brought out of it, yet. I'm so thankful for this word, yet. With God, there's always a yet. A promise and a remnant. Are you amongst them, my friends? God does nothing without a cause. A false heart made and unmade. Chapter 15. Fruitless, barren, and useless. The city is like a vine. Here is another cartoon, if you like. Another visual image to us of a vineyard, a vine, and it is barren. And Jerusalem is seen here as a barren vine. Its wood is not even useful at all. And this imagery is seen elsewhere in the scripture. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read this: I will sing of the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones. He planted it with choices of vines. He built a watchtower over it and cut out a wine press as well. He looked for a crop of good grapes, but it only yielded bad fruit. Sad this, is it not? You feel the plaintiveness of the prophet there. But we see the one who is the vine dresser. I am the true vine, says Jesus. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. The sovereign Lord produces a fruitful vineyard. Why? Because those who trust in Jesus are in Jesus. They are in him. In him. That's union with Christ produces fruitfulness, my friends. And the Lord God does look for fruit from within his disciples? Does he find fruit in you? Does he find that in me? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And from the statements that we've been seeing, and you will know that I am the Lord. So let's pray. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we pray that you will bless it to us all in Jesus' name.